talking about the Kansas City Monarchs. They were the longest-running franchise in the history of baseball's Negro Leagues. J.L. Wilkinson was the first Caucasian owner at the time of the establishment of the team.
Yeah, real good, man, yeah.
In 1930, the Monarchs became the first professional baseball team to use a portable lighting system.
Yeah, that's right, carried around with them.
Which was transported from game to game to play games at night 5 years before any major league teams did.
Yeah, that's right.
The Monarchs won 10 league championships before integration and triumphed in the first Negro League World Series in 1924. They had only one season in which they did not have a winning season after sending more players to the major leagues than any other Negro League franchise. The team was finally disbanded in 1965.
Yeah, that's right.
So they were the greatest in the nation.
The greatest of greatest. But the point is, you got to know baseball to enjoy it. I mean, batting practice, infield workout. You see those guys take that infield workout? And that's just as good as a game. See, if I'm not playing and watching baseball, I'll be getting the fine points, you know, the small things that really win a game for you and stuff like that. And that city, they had a guy named Willard Brown. You ever heard of him?
Willard Brown.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, that man can hit the ball for his George Gibson and all of them guys. Like this guy I told you in Muskogee, Doe Belly.
Mm-hmm.
Them guys can hit ball 500 and 600 yards.
Did you feel all your players that you were as good as the white major league ball players?
This is what I thought about the white league baseball players. See, we didn't play unless we was natural because we didn't have no minor leagues. If I'm a white boy and I got the potential, they send me to AAA or AA and develop it. Well, see, if you didn't have it, you couldn't play with your color league.
If you weren't natural is what you said,
yeah.
Right? If you weren't natural, you didn't play.
You didn't play. We play at home at Sandlot and stuff
right.
Like that. Now, right now, Dominican Republic, Puerto Rican, Cuban are slipping in and taking over baseball. People are not watching that real close. But they got camps down in Puerto Rico and places mm-hmm. for those baseball players, and the major league is supporting them. They're good baseball players. I'm not saying they're not good baseball players, but now I tell you what the white man is doing. He's getting down to business. He's playing the hell out of it, too. Don't think he's not. He's getting down to business because it's a business thing. There's a lot of money in it.
What white ball players were big at the time that you were playing? Joe DiMaggio?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the good guys was real good then. It was real good then, but they didn't put in like they should have, you know, like they do now.
Yeah, but the black ball players, you felt you were as good as...
They was, now, I'll tell you this. In 1930... After World War One in the 20s and the 30s, Negro, they was the best baseball player. They was the best. There's no doubt about it. Just like Bob Feller.
Mm-hmm.
See, he pop up and he fit in right there. But them guys, like I'm trying to tell you right now, them guys stayed at home. They didn't go nowhere to play, to show their stuff. Now, you take him Bob Feller, he's 17. He come out of there and he's humming that ball. Well, there's a whole lot of them guys in home could do the same thing. And we had a guy right here named Al Bright. You heard of Al Bright?
Mm-hmm.
He played the Chicago White Sox, a white guy. Real tall, 6'6", something like that. He could play with them, and the way he hit that ball and the way he played it, he knew the game and everything. The point is, baseball nowadays is up here.
In the head.